All right, take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 118. Today, I thought I would talk about, well, several things, but in some ways, we are to live in compartments. Every day is a new day, right? Whatever happened yesterday happened. You can't change it. It's gone forever. If you didn't use it to the best of your ability, okay, so what? Today's a new day. You got to get through today before you can get to tomorrow. Sometimes we worry about tomorrow so much we screw up today. So I wanted to read this verse and go from there. It's Psalm 118:24, which I'm sure you all know this verse. It says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Woohoo. You know, we were taught years ago that there's a difference between joy and happiness. And, you know, it's really in light of the New Testament. You know, we have joy because we're born again. We have joy because of what God's done for us. You know, situations and circumstances might change. You know, we're happy when we get a new car or we get something we like or a situation is good and we're unhappy when things go bad. But that shouldn't affect our joy. But the word in the Old Testament's a little different. It says here that we are to rejoice in the day that God made and be glad in it. The word rejoice is a cool and interesting word. In a concordance, it says to spring about, like dance about, or to be joyful or exultation. So it implies a physical or outward showing of that joy, of that happiness, which is kind of interesting. And then it's the word glad is another word, which can also be translated rejoice, but it means to rejoice, to manifest it outwardly. So two words, similar meanings, they're kind of synonymous, but they both have a similar meaning of, you know, to exult and rejoice, but to physically manifest that joy, that rejoicing. And, you know, it doesn't say, well, if things are going good or things are going bad or if you're seeing your desires come to pass, it just says what? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And, you know, a lot of what goes on in our lives and a lot that affects our lives is our attitude, how we go into each day and what our attitude is toward that day. You know, I'm sure you've all met curmudgeons. You know what a curmudgeon is, right? Somebody that's never happy, they're always complaining, miserable. Some people have made it an art form. You know, Oscar the Grouch. Why did they make that puppet, right? Because there are people like that out in the world. There are people that no matter what you do, no matter what the situation is, no matter what goes on, they're going to be miserable. And they're going to let you know it. And there are people out there, and I'm sure you know them too, that they have tough lives and they deal with all kinds of negatives and difficulties, and yet they're always blessed and happy. You know, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? If there's a movie about J. Paul Getty. You ever hear of J. Paul Getty? You've seen Getty Oil, Getty Gas Station. J. Paul Getty was considered at one point in the 1960s as the richest man in the world. If he wasn't the richest, he certainly was one of the most influential because he controlled an enormous amount of the oil production in the world. He was the guy that went in and you know, did Saudi Arabia and stuff. He was the most miserable person upon the face of the earth. Just miserable. He had all that money. He collected art, you know, priceless works of art. He had these palatial estates. People would come to visit him. And they'd say, "Can I use your phone?" He had a had a payphone in his house they'd have to use. Isn't that cool? Most people today don't know what a payphone is, but back in the 60s, you know, there was no such thing as a cell phone. So if you were somewhere, you had to either use a payphone or a private phone. So, I mean, just miserable. Didn't matter how much money he had, how much he collected. So somebody was talking to him in the movie, in this movie, and they said, you know, what's with all the art? He says, well, people disappoint me, but my art never disappoints me. What a miserable person. Miserable, evil person. And there are people like that out there in the world. You know, not just rich people, but all kinds of people from all walks of life, from every ethnic background, from, you know, everywhere. There are just some people that are miserable, and there are people that are blessed. But God exhorts us. God exhorts us to rejoice in the day that he made and be glad in it. So it's our choice. It's our choice. We can rejoice in every day, be glad in every day, or we can not. I wanted to look at the context of this verse because it's pretty cool. Psalm 118 is a very interesting psalm. So we're going to start out in verse 1. It says, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Now that's the introduction, that's the beginning, that sets the stage for this psalm. And when you get to verse 24, you know, that's a good reason to rejoice every day and be glad, isn't it? Because why? Because God, the Lord, Jehovah, he is good, and his mercy, his loving kindness endureth forever. His loving kindness. How religion has screwed up that thought. Yeah. You know, the thought of God punishes and God's a wrathful God. And, you know, if you do the wrong thing, he's going to chop your finger off or whatever. Okay. Now, verse 2, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. So this is in the Old Testament, right? This is written by, we don't really know, but it doesn't say in my Bible who wrote it, but maybe David or one of the guys that worked for him, the psalmists. And it says, let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Then verse 3 says, let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. So the nation of Israel was to say it. And then the house of Aaron, which was the priestly line, right? And then it says in verse 4, let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Those that respect are in awe of God. That includes us. So here we are, you know, it includes us. Those that fear the Lord, that respect the Lord, that are in awe of God, let them say that his mercy, his loving kindness endures forever. God's love, loving kindness endures forever. It doesn't change. It doesn't stop. He's continually pouring down his loving kindness upon us. All the time. It's up to us to just receive it. Just bask in that loving kindness. Just accept it. Be aware of it. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. That means, you know, he delivered him. Put him in a good place. He wasn't trapped, you might say. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? You know, I remember when I was a kid and you'd play games, you'd play basketball or baseball or football. And one thing, you know, we'd choose up sides. You know, if you had baseball, you'd throw a bat and a guy would grab it and then you put hand over and whoever got the top. And then he'd try to kick it out of his hand. And if he couldn't kick it out of his hand, then he got the first pick. Or in basketball, you know, we'd do something, do the finger thing or rocks, paper, scissors. But whoever got the first choice usually would pick the biggest guy. You wanted him on your side. You know, God's on our side. He's the biggest guy. The Lord, Jehovah, God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. What a great verse. What a great statement. It's so simple and so straightforward. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You know, and we put confidence in man all the time, don't we? You know, you deposit money in the bank. What are you doing? You're trusting man. Now, in some ways, you don't have a choice. But, you know, my prosperity, my life, the things that I need, really, it's God that supplies my need, right? I've never missed a meal. I've always had enough clothing to wear. I've always had a roof over my head. I've always had gas in my car, and the house has been heated, and, you know, never lacked anything in my life. Now, you know, in the United States, that's not a hard thing to say. I remember meeting guys from Africa that got in the Word, and there was one guy, and he was so blessed because when he got in the Word, and they started believing God for their prosperity, and they were so blessed that they had food every day. Mm-hmm. You know, not three meals a day, just food every day. And there's one guy that wanted to come to the United States and you know, come to, we used to have the Rock of Ages, the big festival, and he went fishing and got a fish and had to get it to market. And he didn't have ice to preserve it, but somehow he just prayed for it. He got it to market. It was still fresh. He sold it, and he got enough money to come to the United States. You know, I don't know how all that worked, but, you know, he told the story, and it was like it was a miracle to him. It probably was. So God says it's better to trust in the Lord, in Jehovah, than put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Princes would represent the government. You know, the government makes lots of promises. Sometimes they come through and sometimes they don't. You can figure out the scorecard on that, but, you know, and sometimes they may come across for you, but at the expense of somebody else. That happens a lot. Or they have all these great programs and there's consequences that they never foresee. So, but we trust in God. That's who we trust in. You know, if something works out, great. But if it doesn't, God's still our sufficiency. God's our strength. God's the one that heals. God's the one that provides for us. All nations compassed me about. This kind of indicates it's probably David that wrote this psalm. It says, all nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation, my deliverance. You know, and this guy is explaining what the negative situation he was in. He was surrounded by enemies. You know, sometimes in life, sometimes you feel like you're surrounded by people that are against you. Sometimes negative situations surround you. Sometimes the events of the world seem like they surround you. You know, when the whole thing with this stupid virus came about a year and a half ago, whenever it was, everybody freaked. Nobody knew what to do, did they? They still don't know what to do. A year and a half later. We probably won't find out the truth for another 10 or 15 years. I may not be around by then, but, you know, anyway, who knows? Or we might be around, we'll go, damn it.
Verse
Let's see, verse 14. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. He's my deliverance. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. That's a great thing. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles, the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. You know, many times God talks about his right hand. In Isaiah 41, talking to Israel, he says, fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You know, the right hand is the hand of blessing, right? So here it says, the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Valiantly. There used to be an old comic strip, Prince Valiant. You know, meaning what? Brave, courageous. The right hand of the Lord is exalted, verse 16. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. He's making a point, isn't he? He's repeating it over. The right hand of the Lord, the right hand of the Lord, the right hand of the Lord. Verse 16, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And you know, this person, whether it be David or another psalmist, he's saying, I'm going to declare the works of God. I'm going to declare them. I'm going to let people know that God is so great and so good. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Chastened means what? Corrected. Let him know when he was wrong. Got him straightened out. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. Now, you know what? We're already righteous, aren't we? The gates of righteousness are already open to us. We're already members of God's family, citizens in his kingdom, holy and without blame before him in love. They didn't have that in the time of Psalms. You know, open to me the gates of righteousness. You know, that's kind of like the Lord's Prayer, and you're asking for stuff that we've already been promised, right? It's already given to us. We already have it. We're already guaranteed to be seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. But it says, the gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation, my deliverance, my rescue. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. That's familiar, isn't it? That speaks of Jesus Christ. He was the stone that was refused that became the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. You know, looking forward, it was marvelous. How much more marvelous is it for us looking back? Looking back at what Jesus Christ accomplished and what God did for us in Christ Jesus. And then we get to the verse. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, why not? Why shouldn't you be rejoicing in the day of the Lord and be glad in it? What do you got to complain about, really? Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Well, we've also been promised prosperity. We thank God for our prosperity. He's already provided for us. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifices with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. And it has to do with the Old Testament sacrifices and stuff. Thou art my God, I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy, his loving kindness endureth forever. You know, we are to look at God. We're not to be controlled by circumstances and situations, but we are rather to look and focus on God and his promises and what he has said and what he does. Every day that we ever live is a day that the Lord hath made, right? I mean, he's the one that invented it. He's the one that figured it out. Was it some planets, you know, Earth particularly, a day is 24 hours and something minutes or something, technically speaking. That's why we have a leap year and all that stuff. Somebody told me, and I didn't really understand that they were trying to explain to me that our seasons are off because somebody miscalculated along the way. I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. But you know, other planets have different length days, don't they? So I guess if you lived on a planet where the days were longer, you'd have more time to rejoice and be glad. Or in the other case, to be miserable. But we're not to be miserable. We're to be blessed. And we can do this every day until the Lord comes back. And we look forward to that day. And that's another part of the reason that we should rejoice and be glad in every day. Because today could be the day. Right? Today could be the day. Every morning when you wake up, today could be the day when you get a new, brand new aerodynamic body. Well, because we're going to fly, right? So it's going to has to be aerodynamic. Who knows? Who really knows? Today could be the day that you see the deliverance that you've prayed for yourself or for somebody you love or somebody you know. This could be the day when that deliverance comes. This could be the day when you've had a desire on your heart, and this is the day that that desire comes to pass. This could be the day when somebody believes and gets born again because of what you said or because of the example that you set before them. Let's go to Psalm 13. Psalm 13, verse 1. Now, this is kind of a cool psalm, and there's a few of them like this in the Word where the psalmist is kind of down and out, and he's kind of complaining. It says in verse 1, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? And there's another place where it says he'll never forget. We're like tattoos on his palms, right? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? You know, one of the things that man really exalts and says is a great thing is when people are introspective. You know what introspective is, right? It's when you look in and examine your life and your, you know, whatever. You know, and to a degree, you need to do that sometimes. You need to do it. Check up from the head up or whatever. You need to, you know, make sure you're aligned and doing what you're supposed to do. But when you become introspective to the point where you're just constantly, you know, you ever meet somebody that's constantly analyzing everything that they do and everything that's going on in their life, and they do it so much that they don't have any time to do anything. Get so tied up with, am I doing it right? Am I doing it wrong? Am I doing this? Am I doing that? That they just end up with going nowhere. It's not a good way to live. This guy is saying, you know, I how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? You know, this guy is just trying to figure it out on his own. How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Just the opposite of what it said in the psalm we just read, right? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemy say I have prevailed against him. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am not moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. He changes his mind. He changed his mind. You know, he got negative thinking about all the crap. This is a Psalm of David. He was dealing with one of those situations. And he dealt with a lot of situations, right? Like one time his son rebelled and tried to take the kingdom away. Happened a couple of times, didn't it? He said, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. You know, then he got his mind straight. Then he got his head on straight and he started to think about what God had promised him and who he was and who God was. You know, and that's why we can always rejoice and be glad in every day, because we're looking to God. God is our sufficiency. God is our strength. Let's go to Psalm 16. Psalms are cool in so many ways. And they're just so many beautiful things. And you know, in a lot of ways, they're just general. You know, you can get a lot of wisdom out of them and a lot of understanding about God and how he loves us. In Psalm 16, verse 1, it says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. You know, and that's something we just need to remind ourselves every day. We trust God. We trust God. You know, when we get confronted with something or something comes up, you know, am I trusting God or am I trusting the world? Well, it's God we are to put our trust. Let's go down to verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. You know, here he just said, okay, I'm just putting God in front of me. I'm holding fast to what he says, and I'm not getting moved off of it. Therefore, because I did that, because I set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. He could rejoice. Why? Because he kept God in the forefront of his mind and the promises of God. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And what's that? That's something we read in Acts, right? When he's speaking about Jesus Christ. And they point out that David looked forward to the coming Messiah. Pretty cool. David was a cool guy. Let's go to Psalm 32. And he wasn't without fault, was he? He made mistakes. He had to deal with things. Psalm 32, verse 11. It says, be glad, verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. That's us. We're righteous. We're made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. What a cool thing, you know? Shout for joy. You know, people should see us and realize who we are. You know, we should be set apart from them just because of the joy that's in our hearts and lives. That we are rejoicing in the Lord. We're rejoicing in his day. We're glad. We're happy to be God's children. We're happy to have those promises. We're looking forward to the return of Christ. We're looking forward to God's deliverance in our lives. Every day, God's working in our lives as hard as he can to bless us, to take care of us, to show us his love and his grace and his mercy. Every single day, he's pouring it out. We just have to look for it. We just have to be ready to receive it. You know, if you're born again, if you know the truth, you have Holy Spirit within you, you know you're going to heaven, you know you have eternal life, there's no reason why you shouldn't be joyful. No reason whatsoever. Yeah, there are bumps in the road. There are, without a doubt. There are going to be negative situations. There are going to be things we have to deal with. There are. But I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they had allowed the joy of life to be stolen from them. Yeah, just the joy. And it's a sad situation. Taught a couple of weeks ago on the peace of God. You know, we should all be looking for the peace of God. I never understood, honestly, I'll share this with you. I never understood, you know, I'll enjoy a drink once in a while, alcohol. But I never needed to have a drink to get peaceful. Right. I never had to have a drink to relax. I can turn off stress. I don't know why or how, but I can. But I know that when I got in the Word, I thought, well, I have Holy Spirit, and if I speak in tongues, I should be able to be peaceful and relaxed. And when I'd see guys and they would say, well, we got to have a drink to relax. We've been working so hard. I'd wonder, well, why? If you have Holy Spirit, and you have God in your life, why do you need to do that? I still don't understand it. I don't comprehend it. I don't need it. I can speak in tongues. Now, I enjoy a drink. You know, that's fine. But I don't need to drink to excess. I don't need to get inebriated. I don't need to do that stuff because why? I remember when I got in the Word and I decided I didn't need to get high or drunk because if I did, I wouldn't be able to hear God when He was talking to me. And then when I was raising kids, we never drank when our kids were little. Why? Because what if they needed us? What if I had to take them to the hospital and I couldn't drive? You know, then I got ordained and I thought, well, all these people are depending on what if I get a call in the middle of the night and I got to go minister to somebody or help somebody. I can't afford to get drunk. That's serving God, you know? Anyway, here we go. Psalm 97. You can see I've been spending a little time in Psalms. You know, sometimes you can just get a psalm and you just spend a week in it, you know, and just read it over and over and look up words and think about different verses. And, you know, it's just incredible. Anyway, Psalm 97, verse 9. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Well, you know, back then people, today people have all kinds of gods, don't they? Somebody was telling me about they had a Hindu doctor. He has thousands of gods. Verse 10, ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. That's what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to live. He's not saying, well, you do this when you win the lottery. You know, this is the way we're supposed to live. This is the attitude we're supposed to have. This is how we're supposed to think. This is how we're supposed to conduct our lives. Let's go to the book of Acts. Chapter 5. I'm just going to read two verses here, but this is where the apostles were preaching in the temple, and they get arrested. They get brought in and they're overnight in jail. And an angel comes and lets them out. And they go into the temple again and they're preaching. And then the guys come in and arrest them again. And they beat them and they threaten them. And then they let them go. And it says in verse 41, and they, the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You know, they counted it, you know, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, that they took a beating for him.
Yeah.
And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They went right back and did the same thing again that they got arrested and beaten for. And they rejoiced. They did it with rejoicing, with gladness in their hearts. And let's go to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And then we'll be done with this. You know, sometimes we just got to remind ourselves. You know, you can, it's easy to get in the funk sometimes with all the crap that goes on in the world. And some people can't handle it at all. You know, and if you can't handle stuff in the world and you can't put it in perspective, then don't listen to the crap. Don't look at newspapers. Don't watch the news on TV. Don't read the books, you know, The Ice Age is Coming or, you know, The World is Coming to an End and, you know, all this stuff. You know, if that's the deal, don't listen to it. And because you got to put the word in there, and that's what should be foremost in your mind. That's what should take precedence. The promises of God. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you should be able to keep your heart and your mind on that level. And if you can't, you got to start working on it, you know. And at times, we all have to work on it. You know, because we're all going to get, every once in a while, blindsided by something we never expected. Well, okay, so you step back, you take a deep breath, you count to 10, and you say, okay, what does God say? And you put that in your brain. Chapter 5, verse 14. And this is, you know, a section where he just gives you some very practical commandments, really. Exhortations. Now we exhort you, brethren. Warn them that are unruly, means to confront or, you know, get somebody does something stupid, you say, you know, you really shouldn't do that. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Feeble-minded means faint-hearted. People that, oh, the world's coming to an end. Oh, I'm not going to be able to take care of this. Well, how do you comfort them? You say, you know, God's going to take care of you. Just look to God. Get them to start thinking in terms of what God has promised. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. That's a tough one. Yeah, be patient. It's the but people. You tell them the word and they say, yeah, but. Yeah, but. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. That speaks for itself. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. You know, and that's hard because we're to love everyone. And even talks about loving our enemies, right? As much as possible, live peaceably with all men. Ever follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore. Wow, there it is. Rejoice how much?
Evermore.
All the time. You know, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Can't be any plainer. You don't need to know Greek to understand that, or Hebrew. You don't need to know figures of speech to understand that. This is the day the Lord hath made. He made everything. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we know why. Because God has done so much for us. He's made so many promises to us. He's given us so much. He's made us his children. Pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean 24 hours a day, 60 minutes an hour. Got to sleep. But it means whenever you get a chance, pray. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. The word prove there is to test things. You know, it's to test, to prove, according to the word. The word is the standard. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And that reflects back on the previous verse. Sometimes what's evil to you is not evil to somebody else. You know, there's some things that you can allow in your life and walk in fellowship with God and be blessed. And then somebody else cannot allow that in their life, right?
Right.
That's just the way it is. So you determine, you know, because if you say abstain from all appearance of evil, and so then you determine that if somebody wears certain kinds of clothing and they're evil, you know, that becomes legalistic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Then you're controlling people's lives, you know, and that's not right. So it has to do with you and what you determine in your life. What appears to you to be evil, you abstain from. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to rejoice in every day. We're to rejoice about God. We're to be thankful to God. We are to let everybody know how much we love God. We're to be glad in every day. And, you know, it's just something we work at and develop and get better at. That's what we should do. You know, it's not always automatic. It's not always easy, but it's what you learn to do. And the more you make it a habit in your life, the easier it'll get. Just like everything else. Just like, you know, you get into a habit of praying, right? You get into a habit of reading the word. You get into a habit of being joyful and rejoicing in every day. Yeah. This is a day. Oh, I woke up this morning. Every morning when I wake up, the first thing I do is I thank God for the day. It's the first thing I do. I say, God, thanks for this day. Then I thank him for the sleep I had. I thank him for my wife's sleep. I thank him for my kids. And I get going. It's the first thing I do every day. So anyway, God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for blessing us so much. We thank you, God, for raining your loving kindness down upon us, that we should rejoice and be glad every day because we are your children, that you've given us so much in your Son, Christ Jesus, and that we are already seated in the heavenlies. We have already walked through the gates of righteousness. We are already your precious ones. And we just look forward to that moment in time when your Son comes back. We receive those new bodies and we're ever with the Lord. We thank you, Father, for just blessing us, for working in our hearts, directing our lives day by day, for the joy it is to serve you and love you and be your child. And we just thank you, God, that we can just let everybody know what a great God you are. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.